Hey, it's your favorite comedian Anthony Rogers, live in his tour bus, yeah. But also, you need to get a beard like this. People have been talking. They said your shit looks whack. It looks weird. They can't tell your pronouns. You need to get a beard like this right now. And the only way to do that is by using Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil. Great smell, great function, great everything. Just get this. And there's directions on how to use it if you know how to read. But use the link in the description. Go to the website. Use promo code LEGENDARY. Get a discount. Do it. Thank you. Boom.
At Revolution Coffee Company, we are dedicated to giving you the best cup of coffee you have ever had while supporting those who keep us safe. We roast our coffee daily, and we offer same-day shipping. Our coffee never sits in a warehouse or a shelf getting stale. Our prices beat our competition, and our coffee speaks for itself. Check us out at revolutioncoffeecompany.com.
Welcome back to the greatest show in the entire universe. Today we have a huge guest. She's definitely going backwards in her career being here, you know, so I appreciate the charity. We have Rebecca Kennedy from several things, but I mean Law and Order, Criminal Minds, Two Witches, several things. How you doing?
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
for sure. It's always weird when you've done like so many projects. Like I only named a couple of them, but like you've done a lot of like movies and like TV shows and stuff and huge stuff too. I mean, that's awesome.
Thank you. No, I love like when you said that I was doing a huge step back doing charity. This is my good deed for the day. No, I'm kidding.
No, I appreciate it. She's actually on probation. She has to do this community service to get off of it.
Yeah. No, you're awesome.
No, I appreciate that. But so your character's dark on Law and Order. Is that like a crazy kind of like character story? Did that take a second to get into that like whole thing? Or like how do you prepare for a character like that? Like,
yeah, no, that's a great question. Yeah, a bit, right? I mean, it starts kind of in the audition. So I auditioned for it like any other, you know, project that we're up for. And so I kind of had a sense of what I wanted to do with her in the audition as far as booking it. But as far as like when I got the audition, I got it like on I think Friday afternoon, and it was due Monday morning. So don't have a ton of time to make choices. You got to kind of read the script, read the sides, memorize, and make choices very quickly and kind of go with your gut and what it feels right and connect to what you can connect to. So, you know, for people that haven't seen the episode, you know, I was playing a girl that was in a family that was neglectful and, you know, didn't feed them and like didn't allow them to take showers. And she, you know, eventually escapes. And of course, you know, thankfully I can't relate to any of that in my own life. So I was like, you know, what can I relate to that is, you know, something I can connect to. So for her, it's like, I can connect to like being lonely and feeling isolated and feeling like no one really understands you. Like, of course, like a lot of us can relate to that. And so I find my way in that way, as far as what thing that, you know, is personal to me. And then the rest kind of is, you know, my imagination is what it, you know, my empathy, right, for people in that situation. And just kind of seeing what happens, you know, when you take, it was a tape. So I sent in a tape to New York. So you're just kind of trying and seeing what happens. And hopefully it works out. In that case, it did. So yeah, it takes a bit to kind of figure it out. But I like playing, you know, dark and kind of troubled characters. So it was kind of in line with what I normally do.
So is that like a good escape for you? Like you seem like kind of positive. You don't seem that dark, you know? So is that like a good escape like through theater and stuff like that, or film, I guess? Or is that television?
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because my life generally speaking is pretty, I'd say, boring, right? Like, you know, as far as nothing too exciting. So when I'm acting, I like to kind of go out and find things that aren't me, that aren't my life, that I can really dive into, that I can really use my imagination, that I can really connect to. And playing characters like Esther in SVU, for instance, I mean, so many fans connected to her. So many fans sent me messages of like, you know, maybe they hadn't gone through that exact thing, but they related to her. And, you know, same kind of thing when I did Criminal Minds. I played, you know, a woman that had been held hostage for 10 years. And even if people can't relate to that specific thing, something about abuse and trauma they connect to. And that is a really big responsibility, but also really special that I can play someone that people can connect to and like have something to look for and say, wow, that's me. That's, I relate to that. That's me on screen. I don't know. It's something that's really interesting to me and really special to be able to play those kind of characters and, you know, hopefully be able to give someone out there watching strength and courage and something that they can, you know, see and watch and feel for. So yeah, I don't really know why I connect to those. It started out very young. Even when I was young, starting out as an actor in theater, I kind of was drawn to kind of darker characters. I think it's because my life is not that. So it's just you know, that's, as an actor, you want to try to like explore and challenge yourself and do things that are different. So.
Yeah, no, I was wondering that. That's what it seems like. It seems like that would be that would be kind of like the escape aspect of it. If you're in a dark spot, you'd almost want to play more positive characters to get out of it. I mean, that's what I'd assume, but I'm not an actor yet, so I don't know. But I'm just assuming. But I mean, you look really young. How old are you though? You're probably not as young as you look.
I can't tell you that.
That's fine.
No, I look a lot younger than I am for sure.
I can almost tell that. No, there's like certain kind of people that are like that. I can definitely tell that. It's like you seem like faster than you look young, you know. So it's like so do you have any kind of like ritual or something that you do to kind of get into characters like this? Is there any kind of like walk me through that? Like what do you kind of do to get into these characters?
Yeah, so depending on the character, depending on how quickly I connect, you know, music is a really great way for me. I'll find songs, a playlist for each character. And, you know, even if they're a dark, depressing character, it doesn't mean that the songs are always dark, depressing. It could be positive songs. It could be uplifting songs. It's just kind of a playlist for her that I can listen to on set. I can listen to maybe on the way to set or in my trailer or I don't know, the night before I go to sleep. It's just kind of starts to get me kind of into that world. I also print out photos that I find online that speak to me, that say the character. So for instance, I did a film called The Veil that's gonna be coming out later this year, where I play a young Amish woman who is running away from an abusive husband and finds herself at the doorstep of a ex-Catholic priest. So for like that instance, you know, she was someone that was feeling very trapped. So I found this really beautiful photo of a woman that was basically, you know, trapped in a house. And it was kind of like a silhouette of someone that couldn't get out and her hands were like this. And so I'll find like three or four pictures that just speak to me, and we'll put them up in my hotel room or in my house, depending on like where I'm filming, that I can look at, that will just kind of bring me to that spot, as you know, if I need to. And then of course, like, you know, the boring actor stuff that you're doing, all the homework that you're doing before you get to set, so that hopefully once you're on set, you can kind of let all that go. Those are like the main things as far as rituals that I usually will try to do to kind of get myself into character. And then I'm just, you know, when I'm not on set, but I'm filming, like still, you know, the shoot's still going on. I just try to stay sensitive to what's happening around me. And, you know, not that I'm in character all the time, but I just kind of look at the world through a lens of whatever the character is, and being sensitive to letting things affect you that might, you know, surprise you on set.
Yeah. With like the music and like photos and stuff, is that like a manifesting kind of thing? Like, what do you think, or like, is anything like that?
Say, what do you mean?
Like a visualization or manifesting thing where you're almost like you almost trick yourself into thinking that you're that person almost. Like,
That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but sure. Yeah, it's whatever kind of gets you into the world, right? Especially if it's this very specific world. Like for that instance, for The Veil, you know, like I said, I was playing an Amish woman in the 70s. Awesome. Never been an Amish woman. I've never, you know, I thankfully got to talk to a woman that used to be in that community, and that was so helpful to be able to talk to her. But, you know, I can only find so much online, right? And so this kind of really helps you immerse yourself and figure out, like I said, like what that world looks like, what it means to you, how you move through it. And it just kind of is something that you can go back to when you're feeling kind of out of it, when you're feeling like drained or you're feeling tired or you're feeling like, you know, you've had a bunch of 12-hour days and you just don't have much energy left and you just need something that can like just hit you back, bring you back into that place that makes you connect back to the story. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of, you can look at it any way you want, really. It's just tools that keep you grounded in the story.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you brought up a good point too. Like playing the Amish probably would be hard to look up online. You know, I mean, that's just like there's not much. There's literally no documentation of them doing their everyday thing like everybody else on Earth. You know, So what was it like playing the Amish? Like, what? I haven't seen the film yet because it's not out. But like, tell me a little bit about the film and like tell me a little bit about that experience. I guess like.
Yeah, so like I said, it's called The Veil, and I play a young woman named Hannah who has basically fled her abusive marriage that she just got into, and she runs away and she finds herself on the doorstep of an ex-Catholic priest and looking for shelter without giving too much away, because it is a kind of psychological thriller mystery, and there's a really beautiful twist in there. So I don't want to, you know, try not to give too much away of the movie before it comes out. But working on that film was just a tremendously fantastic experience. I met the producer, Kyle Andrews, in acting class, like back in 2018. We sat together, sat next to each other, like one class. And then he ended up not taking the class, but, you know, we connected, we talked. He had seen my episode of SVU, speaking of SVU, and, you know, went about our lives. And then January of 2022, he messaged me on Twitter. I refused to call it X, but on Twitter, and sent me a DM and was like, we have this script. I'd love for you to, you know, read it. He sent me the log line, sent me the script. I read it and immediately I was like, yes, I would love to meet with you and the director, Cameron Bile. So I met with them over a Zoom, talked about the character, talked about the script, and I told him I would love to be, you know, involved. And thankfully they had me. So it was an incredible experience, very challenging in different ways. It was probably some of the most physical stuff I've done, but it was, you know, really, exciting and fascinating and just, I don't know, did I lose you? Are you still here?
Oh, no, I'm here. I was just so
you okay, were, sorry. You were, hear your stories. I pulled myself up. Gone, and I was like, am I talking to myself?
No, I pulled it up just like visually. It was just
so good.
Just,
yeah, but it was a thrilling experience working with Sean O'Brien, who plays my co-star in the film. He's been in so many TV shows and films, and he was in one of my favorite shows, The Middle, and he was just fantastic to work with, such a generous scene partner, and the director and producer and cast and crew were just incredible. So I am so excited for people to finally get to see this film, because I really believe it deserves to be seen, not just because of me, but just because of the hard work the cast and crew put into this. And it's a really special story. So yeah, and I'm excited to, you know, hopefully maybe once it comes out, I can come back and we can talk about it more once it's out, and I can actually talk a little bit more about the story. But it's really a special project.
Definitely. Yeah. So when does it come out, and what's it come out on, and how can people see it?
So it hasn't been announced yet, but it should be coming out later this year for sure. So okay. I'll definitely be putting that up once we know.
Was it difficult playing an Amish woman? Was that a difficult role?
You know, it is interesting. Like I said, I got to talk to a woman that used to be in the Amish community. I had a Zoom session with her. I got to ask her any question I wanted for like about an hour. We talked and she gave me so much wealth of information, and I took extensive notes so that I could hopefully try to infuse some of them into the character. Something as simple as praying before a meal, which they pray before every meal, which was really important for me to know, things that you just can't look up and find. You know, there's a few little documentaries, you know, some information online, but like we said, it's really very few things to to really be able to sink your teeth into. So getting to talk to her was such an invaluable experience. And then just, you know, using your imagination and trying to infuse as much of her as I could. And the one thing that she really instilled in me was that sometimes the Amish women are portrayed in TV and movies as very demure kind of character, you know, women that don't stand up for themselves. And she said, that's not the case. And so I really wanted to be able to bring that into her somewhat as well into the film. And, you know, so we'll see, but I had a great time doing it. So I'm excited for people to get to see it.
That's awesome. Look, so how long, what was the shooting period on that? Like, how long did you have to play that role, I guess? Like,
it was 2 weeks. So it was very quick, very, very quick process. But we shot in Pennsylvania, which was really helpful to, you know, we were right in Amish community. At least once while we were driving to set, there were an Amish buggy drove by, which was really awesome. And so just really, it was very isolating. The closest hotel to set was like still like 40 minutes away. So it helped really with her isolation and feeling alone and feeling trapped, because we kind of were that way too. So there, you know, I had like one day off to go and like do stuff, but I didn't really, you know, it was long days and a hard shoot. So it was a lot of just go back to your hotel, take a shower, go to bed, get up the next morning, do the same thing. So that all kind of helps, you know, with the character you're playing. You kind of just use it all in, you know, in the onset.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, well, when you're saying they pray before their meals, like, I was like thinking they'll probably be the only people raptured. Like the Amish might be the only people that make the rapture, you know?
Yeah. 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 And, you know, it's an interesting way of looking at it. Cause I feel like, you know, there aren't really any movies. A lot of movies that have, you know, portray Amish people are about that community. And this one is not about them. She just happens to be an Amish woman in this story. So I thought that was a really interesting way of looking at it and seeing through the lens of this woman. But it's not, you know, we're not condemning the community. We're not saying it's right or wrong. It's just this woman happens to be Amish dealing with this thing that many women and men deal with within marriage. So it's an interesting way of looking at everything.
Yeah, it seems like you're like, for your role, you were studying from where you're from, but most of the movie's not in that community. Like, you like, right? Like, I'm assuming, like if you're escaping, most of it's in what we would consider the real world, and our reality. Most of it's in our reality, not theirs. You know, like, more or less. So that's gonna be a very tricky thing to kind of train yourself for. Yeah, because you're not training yourself to be in the Amish world the entire time. You're escaping from it. So that's definitely,
right, and bringing it with you into another person's life. Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting, which was what drew me to the script as well. It wasn't just about that community. It was just a woman that is dealing with something that, you know, a lot of people can relate to. And also just a really special, interesting story and script.
Yeah, yeah. And these are kind of cheesy questions, but I think they're awesome when you actually get an actress. But how did you get into this originally, I guess, you know?
Yeah, no, it's not cheesy. So I started out doing theater when I was about 12. Okay. I've always had an interest in acting since I was about 4 years old. When I saw my first like play, and I told my mom, like, I want to do that. And she was like, yeah, okay, kid, because you're four, what do you know? And so I didn't really do much with it until I was 12, and I didn't make the cheerleading squad in junior high, and I was just devastated. And so my mom was like, all right, what can we do else that's kind of replaces this since you didn't make that? Do you still want to try acting? And I was like, yes, I still want to try. So she found me like a local children's group that, you know, anyone that wants to be in it can be in it. They do, you know, one musical a summer, and you audition for the different roles, but, you know, everybody gets a role. So she thought that was a great way to see if I actually was interested in doing this, because wanting to do something and doing it are two very different things. And thankfully that was it. It just stuck. I loved it. So I did theater all through junior high and high school, and I majored in theater, and then film and TV came around 2010 is when I really started doing that. And then I moved to LA in 2012. So, I mean, I had, the plan was always like originally to like move to New York and do theater. And I really never thought about film and TV as a career. And after college, I came back. So I'm from Texas originally, and I went to school in Florida. So I came back to Texas to kind of get my bearings and figure out how I was going to make money and just, you know, live. And in the interim of that, I was teaching at a theater. I was still doing theater. And a friend of mine said, hey, have you thought about doing, you know, film and TV like as well? And I was like, I don't really know how to like get into that. And he's like, just start submitting yourself for short films and student films and whatever you can find online. So that's what I literally did. There used to be a site called Short Films Texas. Don't think it exists anymore, but I literally just started submitting myself to anything I sort of fit and started auditioning and started booking some work there. And then I did a short film where a guy on set, a friend of mine, recommended me to his agent, and I signed with an agent, and then they started giving me auditions. And then I started, you know, I booked House Hunting, which you know, I think you mentioned, and A Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage. And I did a co-star on a show, and then things just kind of moved from there. And then I just haven't stopped. So,
what was it like working with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, he's so great. He's exactly what you would think. He's so fun. Very funny guy. He's funny. He actually also asked me how old I was on set, because he was like, I can't figure you out. And not to like get on to you, just, you know, about that, just like, you know, of course, like women are like, I cannot tell my age. But no, he was lovely. Very nice. It was hot. It was Louisiana in like August. And if anyone's been there, it's horrible. The humidity is just suffocating. So he was, you know, made sure I was had enough to drink and I was safe and felt good. And I don't know, just a really nice, genuine person.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, I was going back and forth in my head if he was one of those guys that's like, do not make eye contact with me, or if he was like, cool. He's like, I hear a lot of horror stories in film and stuff. Do you deal with any like people that are just nuts in film at all? And you don't have to say their names. Whatever.
I'm like, let me tell you. No. actually, I have been really lucky to have worked with people that were all really lovely. I really haven't worked with anyone that was, of course, some people are nicer than others, right? You're always going to have that. But I've never worked with, so far, knock on wood, anyone that was just mean or yelled or just was a not nice person. I don't know how long that will last, but probably not forever, but I'll take it for now. You know, most, of course, you're going to always hear the horror stories, and they do exist, but most people working really just want to make a good project. And so they really try just to be nice and genuine and at least as they can on set, because it just makes everybody's job that much easier. It's already hard enough to make a film. Making a good film is even harder. So like, why make it even harder on us?
I love that energy. No, you seem really positive. I like that energy a lot. I think the world needs that definitely right now. What advice would you give people that are like looking to get into it like you are and stuff? Like what, would you advise them just to apply for everything type thing too, or make their own movies? Or like what kind of thing would you advise somebody watching this? That because like, I imagine there's a lot of people watching this and probably like you're living their dream basically, I imagine, you know?
I mean, all of it. I love the bloom where you're planted. No matter where you live, you can start. You don't have to live in Los Angeles. You don't have to live in New York, especially now. Of course, it's great to live, to be in those places, but if you're not there yet, that's okay. Figure out the community, film or theater, depending on what you want to do, community where you're at. So many places now, you know, filmmakers are making short films and student films, and colleges are making student films, and they look great. Especially if you're, you know, at a good, like working with a good college, like this is what they want to do. So they're really trying to make the best product they can as well. You know, like you said, submitting to everything that you are right for, or even remotely right for at the beginning, just to start getting your feet wet and to see if this is actually something you do want to do, because sometimes, you know, you figure out maybe it's not. Or theater, same way, like you're going to as many auditions as you can. Training is key. If someone hasn't taken classes, get in a class. You don't have to go to theater. You don't have to go to school for it, but and local studios are great classes, you know, once a week, twice a week, whatever you can find and you can afford. That's just a great way to get started, and a must really is, even the greats are always, you know, always training, always working, always, getting better, and that's really important. And then not giving up. I know that seems really cliche and cheesy, but if this is something that you really want to do, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I kind of look at it, for me, am I further along than I was last year? Have I done more than I did last year? And if the answer is, sometimes the answer might be no, but if you really look at what you've done, you'll probably, the answer probably will be yes, even if it's not in the way that you thought. Maybe you didn't book that big blockbuster, or maybe you didn't book that series regular on a show, but you did something to move your career forward every year, then you are working at it. And as they say, like, you don't have to be a working actor doesn't mean that you're on a show all the time. You can be auditioning, you can be training, you can be making your own films. I'm getting more into producing now myself. I produced my first short film in Utah this last summer. I directed and produced my first short film as well. And I'm looking at now, like, producing some features. There's other ways to get to work other than just waiting for someone else to give you a job. Of course, it's easier said than done, right? Like, that's not easy to go make your own stuff, but it is available now, especially with the equipment that we have, you know, available to us that we didn't have, you know, 20, 30 years ago. People are making films on their iPhones. People are, you know, just as Steven Spielberg, I think, said, like, make something every day. Just start finding your community of people. And acting class will also give you a community of people that are trying to do the same thing. And then just, like I said, putting one foot in front of the other and not giving up and just keep going. That is probably the hardest part of this is the continuing to keep going when things are not going well for you at the time. It's just not letting defeat take over. So, yeah.
I think that's a great point, like the not giving up part. Like, I think I can relate a lot to that just in my field and stuff too. I think that, like, I was probably 28 before I saw any kind of, like, sign of, like, success, like, whatsoever. And, like, I probably would have given up without those signs, you know, like, I could relate a lot to that. And I think that, like I said, I'm not necessarily an actor, but I mean, not necessarily for self promo, but for context of the conversation, I was in a couple, like, independent films and stuff like that. Like, one was on Netflix, one's on, like, Amazon, stuff like that. But I'm not talented. And you sell your roles way better than you're way better. You're more of an actress. I'm just kind of like a self promoting asshole, you know, for lack of a better terminology. But I'm just,
that works great. You know,
and that's kind of what I was wondering, like, does a lot of that come into where, like, in your industry, do you have to be super hyper, excuse my weird talking dialect, but do you have to be super high focused on, like, social media promotion, online presentation, stuff like that as well in your field?
Yeah. I mean, sadly, I mean, sometimes it is exhausting, right? To keep that up. But now, I mean, nowadays it's just, I mean, I understand actors that don't want to do it, and some actors don't have to, right? If you're at a certain point where the phone's just ringing, you're just getting offers all the time, you don't necessarily have to do social media. But for those of us, the rest of us, it does help. It does. I've gotten, you know, some jobs based on just following people online, keeping up with what they're doing, keeping in touch. You know, Two Witches, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. It's the poster behind, which way? This way. You know, I got from Christina Cleave, who recommended me because she was someone that I met and auditioned for a different project she was doing. I didn't get that one, but we kept up online with each other. And it's just, I stayed in her mind. And she was like, when they were casting Masha, she was like, I know someone that I think would be great. And, you know, the rest is the rest. So, you know, it's like, you don't have to be on there every day. And it definitely, like, can get overwhelming. And it can be, you know, I'm sure you know the endless scrolling where you just are finding yourself doing it for an hour, even if you have to set a timer. But just, you know, making connections, sending out a message, hey, loved this film or whatever, loved your show you did, whatever it is. You know, is supportive and just also, you know, of course, like, keeps you in their mind. And they're also, and also it's a good way to, like, promote your own stuff, right? We spend, until you're doing, you know, the late night shows, right? And you're doing the big press. social media is kind of how you get your films and your TV shows and whatever you're in out there, and that people will see it. You know, we work really hard on making a film, and then if no one sees it, it's not a waste, but it's like you made it for people to watch, right? That's why you made it, for the audience to connect to something in some way. So that's, you know, another way to get it out there is by posting what you're doing.
And you brought up something. Okay, so I'm not familiar with your two witches things. I only had so much time to prep and stuff. Tell me.
No worries.
Let's go down that rabbit hole though. Tell me a little bit about that, and what exactly is that, for lack of a better terminology? Like, what? Tell me about that project, if you would.
Oh yes. Okay, so that's crazy. So you'll definitely want to check it out for sure.
I'm happy
to come back, and we can always talk about it, because I think that you'll have some thoughts when you see it, because it is such a fun, crazy film. It's set up into two chapters. I play Masha, who's the lead of the second chapter, and I play basically a witch that, when my grandmother, who's the witch in the first chapter, she dies, then I gain her powers. And unfortunately, oh, wow, for the other people in the film, the other characters in the film, my character is not the nicest. So I kind of basically take over my roommate's life. So that's a general gist of it.
Where can you watch this at?
So right now it's on Arrow Video. It's also on Amazon Prime to rent, and it's also on Plex. And there are some other places it's going to be going, which we're going to be able to announce in the next few months, which I'm really excited about. But yeah, it's a really fun, crazy film. It's the first villain I've ever played, like true villain. And it was just a crazy, fun ride. And she is quite the character. And we're looking at making part two. So it'll be really fun to come back and play her again.
That's awesome. I know you seem like a really genuine, nice person, but I can see that you could probably play. I could kind of vibe you. And I think you play a good villain though. Like, I think you would though. I mean, so I'd definitely be interested in seeing that.
Definitely let me know if you get a chance to check it out, what you think. Cause, and maybe, like I said, maybe we can come back and talk about it. Cause it's a really fun, fun film. And anyone that likes horror, it's pretty dark. It's has pretty bloody, as well, with some you know, good little jump scares. So it's a fun little film.
That's awesome. And is that where was that shot at?
It was shot here in Los Angeles. Okay. Yeah, at just different like various locations. Yeah.
What is your favorite project you've worked on so far?
Oh, that's so hard. It's so hard to pick a favorite. I feel like I don't have kids yet, but I feel like it'd be like asking what your favorite child is.
I can see that. Yeah. It was like, no matter what you say, you're going to lose, because like the people watching and maybe your friends or something like that, they're like, what?
Yeah, my movie, like, what's your favorite? Or whatever. My project.
No, I feel that.
They've all been special in their own way, which is like House Hunting, for instance, was my very first lead in a feature that I flew, you know, we've shot in Virginia, that, you know, for a month I was there, and that was like, will always be really special to me because of that experience was so wonderful. And like working with Mark Singer and Art LaFleur and just the cast and crew of that one were amazing, and getting that experience as a very kind of young actor, in the sense of like, I hadn't done a lot of film and TV at that point. So Eric Hurt, our director, like giving me that opportunity was just incredible, and really showed me at the time that this was really the path I wanted to be on. Cause up until then I had done short films and student films and like small films, but I hadn't really done something in that of that scale. And so that really, like I said, taught me that, or showed me, opened my eyes that this is the path that I wanted to be on. So that one will always be like really special. And of course, like working on SVU, playing Esther in SVU will probably forever be on my list, just because of that. The fans were just amazing and like, so just welcomed me in. And I only did one episode, but they just made me feel like just part of the family. And of course the cast and crew on that one were incredible as well. It made me, you know, feel so encouraged and supported. and I'm just gonna like literally name all my projects because I'm gonna be like, all of them are my favorites.
I mean, you should for the viewers. I mean, we have hundreds of people watching, so if people are seeing you for the first time, I mean, yeah, name them so people can go down that rabbit hole, like, you know, and kind of just like check out all your work. I mean, I definitely, that's the whole point of podcasts, you know, to like kind of educate the viewer on like on what's going on out there and like seeing this in a different way than like you know, like just mainstream media or whatever other terminology, you know.
Yeah, and like Criminal Minds was my first like guest star. It was my first big role on a TV show, so that was really special because at that point, like I hadn't booked anything big on TV, so I was like, I don't even know if TV is going to be where I am able to do anything. So that was, and I met a really good friend, Amelia Rose Blair, who's still a really good friend of mine on that show. So that was, and I even met her at the audition, which is a crazy story. But and then like Station 19 was the first like villain, not really a villain, but I played a drug addict who robbed an ambulance on that show. And that was, you know, the first time that maybe a lot of people watching got to see something other than like a victim, right? Where I was playing more of the person that was in charge instead of being like the one that's being, you know, kidnapped or held somewhere or something like that. So that was really fun. And then like, you know, Two Witches was great because I got to play a villain. The Veil has been really special. It's one of my favorite roles for sure. Just really getting to play something very different. So I don't know. I can't really name like one. They all have been unique in their own way and have taught me something as an actor and as a person at the end of the process. So I'm like, if I can say that, then it's been, you know, it was worth it.
That's awesome. Another kind of cheesy question, but I really want the answer. Like, what kind of people do you look up to, like within the industry and stuff like that, and maybe did as a kid as well? Like,
yeah, no, that's not cheesy at all because I think we all have to have like, you know, mentors or actors that we look up to that we want to either emulate or just like their career is so fascinating or whatever it be that gives us inspiration to keep going.
I feel like the question's cheesy, but the answer's interesting. I feel like it's one of those things. You know, it's like a very typical question.
Right, but you never know the answer will be. I mean, exactly. You know, Meryl Streep for me is going to be always one of my favorites because she just is so transformative in everything she does, and takes risks, which, you know, I love. But then we've got, you know, who else? Like Emma Stone recently, and I don't know if you saw Poor Things, but she was just like amazing, so amazing in that, just took huge risks, and like that's when I'm always really fascinated by people that just really go for it. So I've always been like a big fan of Johnny Depp's work, and you know, because he's always trying something new, he's always pushing the boundaries, he's always, so people that are always kind of pushing what is quote unquote acceptable and what you would think never you would do with it, but then finding a way to make it work. Like, you know, love Denzel Washington. Viola Davis is another big one. I just think of how incredible she was in Doubt and how small of a role she had, but the impact that she had. So, I mean, those are a couple. I have a whole list of people that I would like die to be in the same room with, let alone work with. But hopefully, you know, maybe one day I'll cross paths with some of those people. You know, yeah.
It's interesting to hear like a classic, like Hollywood perception, like a modern, a modern Hollywood perception, I guess, but classic in the sense of I'm from Missouri where a lot of people have a disconnect with Hollywood and stuff like that. And I think it's like interesting to kind of, to see you kind of keep the dream alive, you know, and I think that it's very important, like for America in a lot of ways. I think a lot of people have kind of like lost trust in like Hollywood and like in New York and stuff like that. And to see like you light up when you talk about it was kind of inspiring, honestly. That just you being authentic and like lighting up about it was kind of inspiring for a guy like me. I'm kind of bitter towards it as well to a degree, you know. And I think that like just, I mean, the and to see you kind of just like just daydreaming towards it is amazing to me personally. I think that's a very good energy, and I think that you gave me kind of hope in Hollywood with the way you're talking about it. Like you kind of gave me, you kind of did that, and I feel like I haven't had that in like 4 or 5 years or so, or maybe more, you know. And I think that like I don't know, you're kind of like that was really interesting hearing that. Like I'm glad I asked that question just to kind of see like your energy on that, because I think that
It kind of gave me hope in like old American institutions type thing, you know, like for a lack of better terminology. I think that's what is your perception on the current state of like Hollywood and stuff like that as somebody in it? Like,
yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting that you say that. I'm so glad, by the way, that I mean, this industry is so hard. I mean, being in this business, being an actor in general, is just like one of, right? Not, you know, it's not brain surgery by any means, but it's one of the hardest careers to choose because there is no obviously guaranteed work. There is no, you can be amazing and still not work. There is just no guarantee that your hard work and your talent will garner the success that you want. And I think you have to start looking at success differently. And success, of course, means different things for different people, right? Success would be nice to have, of course, to have that Oscar on your mantle, but that may never happen. But that doesn't mean that someone wasn't successful just because they weren't Oscar winning or never were nominated or were never even in that room. That isn't like the only measure of success. And I think a lot of times people can get wrapped up in that they're not doing enough and they haven't looked at what they have accomplished, and me included. It's so easy to be like, but I want more, even if you have had success. And like you said, there are people that are watching that wish to be in the position you're in or whatever it is. It's a hard place to be right now, especially with like COVID the last few years. The strike last year was very difficult. The possible strike this summer. And of course, I stand with the IATSE 100%. But of course, it's hard, right? It's hard for all of us, not just actors, but also directors, producers, casting directors, crew. Everyone has suffered. And we're just trying to figure it out, right? We're trying to make our way. That's why I've gotten more into making my own work so that I'm not just waiting for the phone to ring, not just waiting on my team to get me auditions. Like, I'm also curating the kind of roles I want to play as well, because you kind of have to, you know, tell them what you want to do sometimes too, and show them if they don't see you in a certain way, like, this is also what I can do. I admire the fact that you said that, because I think so many of us feel that kind of hopelessness, feel like, is it going to get better? I love award season for many reasons, but also from so many inspiring speeches over the course of them really also keeps me going, right? Because it's like, you never really know when your time will be, and one role can change everything. But you won't know if you give up. So that's the other interesting thing, right? Is you know, next week you could get that role that changes your life.
Yeah, to even get one of your roles would probably be a dream of like somebody in it. And it's very cool that you've gotten several. You know, I think that's and I mean it's a good direction. It's just doing it over and over again, I imagine. I mean, just like any other field, you know, it's like similar with comedy or podcasting. It's like for example, like podcasting, you have to get through the times of like two people watching a show to 20 to 200 to 400 to a couple thousand. I mean, you have to get through that. And then, and like now I'm like unimpressed if it's under like 70,000 people, you know, like to where you, at one point though, I was like happy to have two people. I'm like, oh my God, two people are watching this show even, you know. It's like, and I want to say acting's probably, I mean, I'm like I said, I've been in projects, but I'm not like I wouldn't consider myself, you know, I'm like a comedian that dabbles in it, you know, but I think that like, I'm not familiar with your field as far as like a professional standpoint. So I'm trying to say like, to where I think that, yeah, but I would assume it's the same thing. It's just like, the more you chip away at, the better you get, and the more time you put in. I mean, you probably have to do so much. Do you have to like work out constantly, or is there a lot of things? I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, you're right. Like, honestly, like doing a podcast, doing what you're doing, isn't any different in the sense that at the beginning, you're not going to have a lot of success, quote unquote, right? So definitely, you're building your team, you're building your brand, you're building your audience. And, you know, you're going to do your best show, whether two people are listening, you're going to give 100%, right? As if 75,000 people are listening. And I think if you're doing your best, giving your best when one person's listening, then you're going to keep growing because people are see that, and that energy is infectious, and they want to follow you because it's interesting, and they're like, wow, this guy is interesting to listen to or watch or whatever it is. And you keep going, and then eventually you have, like, you know, 30 people listening, and then you have 300 people listening, and then you have more and more because you haven't given up. I don't think that that's any different than what we're doing in the sense that, you know, when you first start out, you don't have any fans, quote unquote fans, right? And I don't just mean people audience watching, but any fans in the industry. And then the more you do this, the more people find you, and then the more people want to work with you, and it just kind of work begets work, right? So, you know, I hate working out, but I do.
I love working out, but I was just wondering if, like, I feel like actresses probably have to have a different routine than, like, mine's based on what I want to do. It's probably why I like it. Like, you probably have to do certain things. I would assume, I don't know your situation, but I would feel like you people in entertainment that are, like, more so, like, this is just my company. If I could do whatever I want all the time. I'm not, like, I don't have to listen to people other than the listeners. I mean, that's the only people I even have to listen to. They don't care if I work out. They don't care. But I feel like in acting, like casting directors might care, like other things like that. I don't know. I'm assuming, I don't know. Like I said, I've never, like, the only, my thing with film is way different than yours, because, like, I basically just know the directors and films and products I worked with and stuff like that. And I was like, I had a fan base before I got into that. So that's the only reason I got into it. So we're different in that regard, because you started out like that's your thing. Like, you mean, like, acting's like your thing, to where Tremont's like just a dabbling. I mean, I don't have the same love for it as you do, probably, like to where, like, but I know it's great self-promotion, to where, like, I talk to the directors, or I talk to the whatever, where I feel like a lot of people had to get, like, a process. Like, you had to apply, you had to, like, audition and stuff, you're saying.
Of course, like, once you've done this for a while, you'll start to have people that will, like, approach you and just offer, like, roles. But yeah, for the most part, you're still auditioning. I mean, all the TV stuff I've booked, I've auditioned for all of it.
I bet you do for TV. That makes sense. You've probably not been around that with TV yet, but like, yeah. like my buddy, like I annoy people I want to work with. Like, the same way I got you on the show is the same way I would get people to work with. I see, like, what people are doing, and I annoy them, basically. And, like, you're doing cool stuff, so I'm like, I bet people want to hear, like, from an actress's point of view. And that's the same way I would hit up, like people, like, I worked with, like, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, Uwe Boll. Like, he's, like, the most hated film director ever, and I thought that was cool. Like, just this rebellious thing. Like, people hate that guy for some reason, and I think he's a genius. But I viewed, like, pro wrestling, so I annoyed that guy for, like, probably 2 years to work with him. And then that's how I got into it originally. And like I said, I'm not, like, I wouldn't consider me an artist in the aspect of that at all. I feel like he told me I was the worst SWAT guy he's ever seen. So just to be transparent, that I'm not, like, putting myself on that level to anybody watching. Like, I know I'm not delusional. I know that, like, I know that I'm not in that field, but I think that, like, the annoyance part of it really works for me. Like just hitting people up and, like, seeing what people are doing and stuff. I think that really works. Like, the same way.
No, I think you froze.
I mean, or no matter whatever your dream is, really, like, if you're, like, as a comedian, I do the same thing. I just annoy everybody, every venue I want to work with, anybody I want to, I feel like that's, like, a go-getter kind of attitude, like, more so than being talented. You know, I feel like I'm more ambitious than I am talented, is what I'm trying to say. If people watching this, that's what I would almost argue to do, is like, no matter what your dream is, to be, like, the best dentist, like, do it. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be an actress, or it doesn't have to be a comedian. It doesn't have to be, like, anything like that. I mean, just, like, that go-getter attitude. And then what you touched on, with not quitting, is huge. I think that's the biggest thing, because, like, I mean, to go back to something I briefly mentioned, like I'm 37 now, but at 28, I was probably not going to pursue entertainment anymore. I was, like, at this point, I'm like, okay. I was, like, at my parents' house. I was, like, broke. I had, like, nothing going on. I'm like, oh, my God. And, like, 28 is, like, a sad time. To be 30 at your parents' house is more depressing than 28. You know what I mean? It was like that thing, you know, once you get there, you're like, oh, my God, I'm at my parents' house at 30, you know, oh, my God. And it was like a comeback to, it was like a humbling moment. It was like one of those humbling moments, having to be at your parents' house. And I think if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be doing anything. I would have never done comedy. I did 20 states last year. I wouldn't have done that. I was like last year this time, I was like headlining in Maui and stuff. Like, I wouldn't have done any of that. So I kind of hit, and that's just like my context to what you're saying to that. And just for people watching, I want them to, like, kind of, like, realize this. I mean, I mean, you have to go a period of time without getting paid. You have to go a period of time. You can't just, like, from my perspective, and correct me where I'm wrong in your field, but you can't just, like, look at it from a money grab. You can at first anyway. You can eventually, but at first you can't just be like, okay, if I'm not paid to do this, I'm not doing this, because, like, you're gonna be passed up by everybody that'll do it for free. You'll be in supply and demand. You'll be passed up by all these people that are just, like, desperate for the limelight, desperate for the success. Whatever it is, they will outwork you. I mean, if you're only in it for money, you won't last 10 minutes. I mean, from my perspective, I think that, like, and I think that not giving up things is very important. I think, and I relate to that hard. I think it's like, I mean, there's so many times, like 10 years ago, I would have gave up, and I was right before I started, like, getting, like, any kind of traction, any kind of anything. I would have, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying I'm even anything now. I'm just saying, like, I'm happy and I'm, like, doing my thing. And I'm like, you know, then I think that's the key to my success is happiness more so. And I think that, to where, I mean, I think, like, not quitting is the best thing you could have said for advice for people watching this. And if you're one of the hundreds of people watching this, I mean, no matter what your goal is, I mean, don't be delusional.
Yeah, not actor, not, like, whatever it is that you want to do, lawyer, doctor, dentist, you know, like, there's, you know, whatever it is that somebody wants to do. And I think, like you said, you hit it on the head. You know, if someone wants to get into this because they think they're going to get rich, you should not do this because you will spend most of your time poor, far more than you will maybe be rich if it works out. But who knows, right? There's no way to know. Like we said, this is one of the few industries that hard work and talent isn't always rewarded just because you worked hard. So you have to keep going, right? Like, you know, if you're a lawyer, a doctor, and you're good at your job and you work hard, you will move up. But this isn't always like that for us. There's people that shoot to the top that have no experience. And then there's people that have been doing this for 20 years. They're finally getting their dues. You know, they're finally getting the role that puts them on the map. So there is no rhyme or reason or path that will, like, send someone up the elevator to success. That's what you just have to keep going. As long as you love this, I would never advocate for someone that, you know, wants to quit because they can't do it anymore. Like, please find something that you love. But if you do love this and you do want to continue, knowing that, you know, you will be in for the long haul. And like you said, you will be working for free a lot, especially at the beginning, and that's okay. Most actors have 2 or 3 jobs.
Make
ends meet. You know, they're doing a short film for free, and then they're bartending or waitressing or waiter, you know, whatever it is, to pay for their bills. Like, that just is the life of an artist, especially at the beginning, before, you know, anyone knows who you are. And then, you know, maybe well into it, depending on, you know, you might have years or months where you don't work, and that just happens, even to big stars. So it's, you have to love the craft more than anything else. You have to love acting more than red carpets, more than money, more than parties, more than events, more than premieres, more than festivals. Like, you have to love the actual part of acting the most, or it's really not really worth it.
Yeah, and you coming from a theater background, I could definitely see that. Like, if you were saying that at 4 years old about that's your role, you know, I think that's your path, you know, and like getting, I mean, and like people, I think a lot of other people watching this may not understand, like, how hard it is to get as many roles as you've had. I think that's huge, and I think that's a good that, and congrats for the success, by the way. And I think that's a big thing, and I love that you're proactive in the not waiting around. You're not sitting in a waiting room either. You're also, like, making your own projects and all that. I think that's huge for, like, any kind of, like, field you're in and stuff. And I think that the only difference between, like, delusion and success is other people partaking in your delusion. So the more people you get to partake in your delusion, the more successful you'll be, it seems like, in entertainment. And I think that's and I can just tell by your vibe, you're going to continue to do this. You seem like a person that's not just, like, in it for, like, the wrong reasons or whatever, you know. And I think that and that's refreshing to kind of, like, see, like, you know, like, I feel like you're in it for the, like, just to do it, you know, just to be there, you know, not to, and that sounds weird to say, but I just mean, like, you're in it for the right reasons. Like, you seem, like, authentic. It's weird to say to an actor or actress, like, that you don't seem like a bullshitter, though. I mean, maybe in your roles, but right now you seem authentic. You don't seem like you were, like, lying about any of your answers or trying to be something you're not. And I think that's very big. And I think authenticity is the highest frequency. I think it even surpasses love. I think love is the second highest frequency. But I think authenticity is the highest frequency, and that's what draws people to you in your work and stuff, I feel. And it's weird to see, like, all your stuff has been, like, dark. So it's weird. It's, for me, it was weird talking to you, seeing how, like positive and kind of refreshing you are as a person, because all your work is very dark. And like, it was, you know what I mean? It'd be like talking to Marilyn Manson and he's just like happy or something. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. like it's a terrible example, but that's what it seems like though. It's like, and I think that's awesome. And like, I wish you like continued success. I hope all your dreams like continue to happen. It's awesome seeing it. And like, is there anything you want to throw out for people like that we may not have mentioned before, like any kind of like thing you would like to promote or any kind of like thing you like to tell people that a lot of people will see this. So if you have anything, any general message, even, you know, for people.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, by the way. Yeah, I have also another film called Crust that Sean Whalen directed and wrote, is also my co-lead that will be coming out. It was just announced Anchor Bay bought it. So it'll be coming out this fall. So August, September ish. I'm not sure dates yet. But that one's it's a horror comedy about a Sean plays a man who is depressed. He was an ex-child actor, depressed and living and working in a laundromat. And, you know, after everybody does their laundry, he goes and collects the socks and puts them, you know, in a pile in his room and uses them to, like, you know, wipe his nose and whatever else. And one day he is bullied and he cries into the socks and they become this sock monster called Crust. And they start, Crest starts basically avenging all of his enemies. And so I played the love interest in it. So, that one was really fun. We shot last May here in Southern California. So that will be coming out, later this year. And I'm really excited for people.
Are you saying Crust or Crest?
Crust.
Okay.
C-R-U-S-T. Yeah.
I messed it up in the description when you're saying that. So yeah, sorry about that. If you saw that I spelled that wrong when I just I typed it off hearing it. So I was like, now it's in the description on there too. But yeah, I know. Check out Crossed, check out Two Witches, check out, I mean, you can look at your episode in Law and Order, Criminal Minds, The Veil's coming out. So you have a lot of projects coming out, which is pretty cool. And sorry to interrupt, but
You're good. Yeah. Yeah. That one's, like we said, Crossed isn't out yet, but it will be out later this year. So, and if, you know, people are Twister fans or people in the stairs, Sean, you'll know Sean Whalen from those projects.
He was in Twister.
Yeah. He plays the character's name, but he's got like the backwards hat. He's like one of the guys in the truck.
The 90s movie Twister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's okay? One of the storm chasers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome. I'm a big fan of that movie.
Yeah.
Actually.
He was also in like Jury Duty, Never Been Kissed, like a lot of 90s. Really fun movies. But yeah, so he's the director and he wrote it and one of the stars. So yeah.
Well, he's definitely raising your IMDb star your credit, right? Like being in a project.
Yeah,
like
that. No, he's great.
It's making the points go up, you know, IMDb points.
It's a joy to work with him. So yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have anything you want to tell people? Like anything else outside of that before I
Well, thank you so much for having me and for anyone that's watching or listening, really appreciate it. And you know, like we said, just keep trucking, keep going after what you want, and don't let anybody tell you that you're, you know, not good enough, that you're not enough, because you are.
So I love that. That's true and powerful nowadays. You can do whatever you want in this world. Now that's awesome. And thank you for going backwards in your career and slumming it. I hope that I'll sign your community service papers if you need me to. This counts as an hour of community service, so I appreciate.
I'll ask, but you know, I'm sure it'll count towards some of it. You know,
well, I appreciate it and thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to coming back.
Cool, excellent. Check out Rebecca Kennedy on her projects. Google her. Check out all of her projects, her movies and stuff. Absolute honor having her on here. And again, going backwards in her career. And I agree with your statement. Like, basically, do whatever you like. Do what's real to you. And thank you for watching. Thank you for spending your Monday night watching this. I know a lot of people are very busy and have a lot of things going on. I really appreciate you taking the time to watch this. I thought that was a great interview. Very good energy. I look forward to watching more of her projects. I only saw a couple of them prior because I was kind of doing homework. I'll definitely check out Two Witches. She said it's on Amazon Prime. And yeah, no, I hope all your dreams come true. And thank you all for watching, and have a great night. Thank you very much.